Can y'all hear me? Okay. All right. My name is Shiva Dawadi, and I'm going to be talking about falls as a leading cause of injury among deployed soldiers. And I have no relationships financially or anything else to disclose. Just a brief overview of the presentation I'm going to be talking about. So the purpose of this presentation is to describe the incidence of serious fall-related injuries requiring medical air evacuations of soldiers deployed for Operations Iraqi Freedom, based in Iraq, and Enduring Freedom, based in Afghanistan, between 2001 and 2009. I'm just going to give a very brief overview of the background of fall-related injuries, and then go into detail about fall-related injuries that we're seeing in non-battle injuries with our soldiers. I will, of course, be going over the methods that I did, the incidents, demographics, and the causes that we're finding, and I'll be ending my presentation with some concluding remarks. So just I guess a very brief background. We wanted to go ahead and define falls when a person loses their balance, causing them to hit the ground or other object at a different level or the same level. And in my presentation, I also included near falls. And so here, near falls is where balance is regained and the person does not hit the ground. And with near falls, I included slips and trips as well. So falls are a worldwide leading cause of burden of injury and a leading cause of non-fatal injuries in the U.S. In 2009, two-thirds of all unintentional hospitalized injuries among active members of the armed forces were caused by falls. And here, armed forces is not just the Army, but it's also the Navy, Air Force, all of the services. The Department of Defense has identified slips, trips, and falls as a leading cause of preventable mishaps and lost injury times, or lost time injuries. And these preventable mishaps and lost time injuries reduced operational readiness and have cost the DoD over $3.5 billion annually. So this is a pretty big portion of injuries. So here, this graph, we're looking at the leading cause of unintentional injury hospitalizations in active duty members who were non-deployed just for 2008. And here you can see that falls and near falls are once again are the leading cause, with land transports equally in the same percentage. So this graph is showing the cause of injury for in-theater non-battle injury hospitalizations among deployed soldiers from 2001 and 2009. So here, soldiers are being hospitalized in theater. So this is in Iraq and Afghanistan. And here you can see that falls is one of the leading causes. For Iraq, it is the fourth leading cause of hospitalizations. However, for Afghanistan, it's actually the second leading cause. So that was just some background information on what we're finding with falls for in-theater and also deployed or non-deployed Army members. Now, just to go into some details about what I did to get the data that I'm going to be presenting. The information and data used in this presentation was obtained through medical records of soldiers being air evacuated for treatment. These records provided information regarding demographics, code of diagnosis, and it also included a narrative history. Once I received the data, we went and made a list of criteria of who we would like to include in the study. So we wanted to make sure that we had deployed Army soldiers who were deployed from October 2001 to December 2009, and we wanted to make sure that they had non-battle injuries. Here, when we say non-battle injuries are injuries due to circumstances not directly attributable to hostile action or terrorist activity. And we also wanted to make sure that these were non-battle injuries that had caused air evacuations. So the soldiers were being air evacuated from Iraq or Afghanistan to higher medical facilities in Germany or back to the US. Once we had our population, we went ahead and trained coders went ahead and assigned injury codes for what we were seeing, for the injuries we were seeing. Then once these injuries were coded, we went ahead and categorized them for fall or near falls, looking at fall types, and also to see if any sort of motor vehicle or aircraft were associated with these falls. And then also a descriptive analysis, including a chi-square test, was done. So this sort of gives you an idea of where of the data that was given to me and also how I got to the cases that I'm looking at. So from 2001 and 2009, 51,519 soldiers were air evacuated from either Iraq or Afghanistan. Of those, 34% were non-battle injuries. So we're actually more concerned with this route, not this route. 18% were battle injuries and 48% were disease. And just to note, non-battle injuries proportionally were actually the largest category compared to any disease category. So looking at non-battle injuries, so 34% of the 51,519 air evac soldiers were air evac'd for non-battle injuries. Of those, 11,759 actually had an identifiable cause. And when we looked at those identified causes, 2,792 cases were caused by falls or near falls. So combining both primary and secondary cause codes, soldiers with fall or near fall non-battle injuries were 3,050 of injuries with identified causes. So this graph is looking at only the primary causes of air evacuated non-battle injuries. Here you can see falls account for 17% and near falls account for 7%. So when you do combine both of them, the total percentage is 24%, and it ends up being the number one cause of air evacuations. This table is showing just the basic demographics of the people and of the soldiers that we're dealing with here. As you can see, we have age groups, gender, and rank. Here we have soldiers with fall-related injuries, and also they were compared to all deployed soldiers. Age, gender, rank were proportionally similar when comparing soldiers of these two categories, and we did find a statistically significant difference with a p-value of 0.05 was found between the two groups of soldiers in age and rank. So this graph is showing the annual rate of non-battle and fall-related injuries in Iraq and Afghanistan. The red line is showing the annual rate of non-battle injuries, and the blue line is showing fall-related injuries only. And as you can see, both rates have decreased from 2001 to 2009. In fact, for the all non-battle injuries, it is a reduction of almost half. And it's not as evident in this graph, but for fall-related injuries as well, it is almost a half rate reduction. So this graph is showing you the distribution of fall types. As I said earlier, when we coded fall and near falls, we categorized them based on fall types. So the four fall types we're looking at are falls from one level to another, so the same level, near falls, and also falls dealing with stairs and ladders. So this graph is showing you the distribution of injury types in Iraq and Afghanistan. And as you can see, the leading causes, or the leading injury types, are fractures, dislocations, sprains and strains, pain and inflammation, and joint derangement. So this graph is showing the distribution of fall-related injuries by body regions. The three leading anatomical locations, as you can see, are knee, ankle, foot, and wrist and hand. So they are dealing with the upper and lower extremities. Also, I wanted to make note, if you look right here, we do have a few regions that deal with head, face, eye, and ear. And I wanted to make note that a proportion of these 108 cases do deal with traumatic brain injuries, and that is something that we are looking into at the Army. So this graph shows the distribution of fall-related injuries involving motor vehicles and aircrafts based on fall types. Here, the yellow bar are falls or near falls where no vehicle or aircraft was associated. The blue bar are falls and near falls associated with a motor vehicle. The red bar are falls and near falls associated with a motor vehicle, but also relating to boarding and alighting or exiting and entering in a vehicle. The green bar here represents falls related to, with aircrafts, and the gray bar deals with falls relating to aircrafts, but also relating to boarding and alighting of an aircraft. And I guess looking at the fall type from one level to another, one thing we have to take into consideration is that compared to civilian vehicles, Army vehicles do tend to be a little bit more complex, higher off the ground. They have many more hatches, locks, and stuff like that. So there's a possibility that that is coming into play here. Because we are seeing lots of falls associated with motor vehicles, the Army has taken that into notice, and this is actually a poster that has been made and distributed to soldiers in their barracks and everything like that to prevent injury. Get a grip, grab a handle when stepping off a vehicle. We're trying to emphasize the fact that you should not just jump off a military vehicle. You know, make sure that you are in contact with something. I don't know if you can read this, but when exiting vehicles, keep three of your four limbs in contact with the vehicle, and two hands and a foot. And also, you know, making sure that the soldiers look before they leap or look before they go down to make sure there are no holes or anything like that, or any sort of rocks or anything like that, uneven surfaces. So now, so this graph is showing fall-related injuries relating to sports. And I wanted to make note that this is not the original 3,050 cases I talked about. This is actually dealing specifically with sports only. So there were a total of 2,608 soldiers who were air evacuated for sports-related injuries. I went in and looked through these sports-related injuries to see if there were any falls or near falls associated. And sure enough, 435 cases of the 2,608 cases were fall-related. And so this is a distribution of those 435 cases. Majority of the sports injuries relating to falls deal with basketball and football. So I guess some concluding remarks. Injuries are the biggest health problem for deployed soldiers that we're finding right now. Falls are a leading cause of medical air evacuations in the Army, and fall injuries are negatively affecting soldiers and their work performance, and it's also decreasing unit readiness. The annual fall rates have decreased from 4.8 to 2.6 per 1,000 deployed person years from 2001 and 2009. So like I was saying, it was almost a reduction in half. There are lots of limitations with this study. We still don't have enough specifics and details about falls to fully understand what is going on and what preventive measures can be highly effective to prevent these falls. We're trying to figure out if we can get more information about the mechanism of the falls. Right now we have the frequencies and we're seeing that there are falls occurring, but we kind of want to figure out why are these falls occurring specifically. So we do want better understanding of different mechanism and activities of falls. And we also want to know if there are any differences in physical environment or occupational duties that are causing perhaps one group of soldiers to have more falls than another group, and if there are higher risks. So this is the mission of the Army Public Health Command. And I guess if we have any questions. Yes.
Take questions first. Yeah, you can take questions. We have time.
So can you go back to slide, I think it was 15 or 14, just have an interpretive question.
Yes, what slide was
it? The chart that you talked about falling from what or?
Right here?
Yeah, that one.
Mm-hmm.
How this is presented, are the alighting boarding injuries within all motor vehicle or are
no,
they separate?
They're separate.
How do you distinguish that? Because I can understand like operator boarding alighting, but in Army there's all kinds of other boarding alighting going on in the back of the vehicle.
Yes. The narrative histories. I actually for these cases, I did read through every narrative history was read through by the coders, and we have certain criteria that have to be met to in order for it to be boarding or alighting.
Then I'm curious about why the motor vehicle category is so huge. What's the exposure there? Is this just people getting thrown out of vehicles or doing something that's not involved? It just seems like that's a big percentage of
for non-boarding and alighting. Yeah. Yes. I guess like falling off the vehicle as well, or if they don't mean to be exiting, and then they are exiting as well. And also with most, with certain vehicles, you have different levels within the vehicle. So when you're falling, you're still in the vehicle, but you're falling in the vehicle from one level to another as well. Yeah. Yes, sir.
A comment. You may be trapped a bit by semantics here, because the term that you call near falls are called missteps in the falls trade.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a paper on this in 2007, which I think will help explain a lot of your same level falls, which aren't really same level falls. They're falls in which there's a small elevation difference, and the mechanism is called an air step. And when people are walking over rough terrain where the underfoot conditions aren't highly visible, you basically step into a depression, and the kind of sequelae that follow from that are ankle, knee, sometimes hip, and sometimes back injuries. I sustained one in this city, actually, in a hotel with an air step in a hotel lobby with back injuries. So you might want to look at that, and also don't get trapped by the slips and trips near fall limitations, because there's many missteps that are neither.
And
look at the literature on missteps.
We made sure that I made sure that when we looked into near falls, that with the slips and mistrips, we made sure that they were slips and mistrips that were fall related, not the non fall related. So
yeah, but also look at other missteps too.
All right, thank you. Yes, sir.
David Lombardi. I'm curious to know the richness of the engine text, the narrative text associated with each case. And the second part of my question is, you have that in the thought about instead of waiting for the mechanisms to come in, as you suggested, is exploring narrative analysis methods and developing your own taxonomy on the data to prove the known mechanisms and other variables.
The narrative histories are the medical records that we're getting initially from what we are receiving from Iraq and Afghanistan, and then also the medical records that we're getting from Germany or America. And they do have some information about the mechanisms, however, it's not consistent. And I think we are looking into possibly going more into learning about the mechanism and stuff like that. I think one of the things that we might that there's a possibility of doing is giving surveys to soldiers. It would be self-reported, however, if they have received a fall, just sort of asking questions to get more information about it. Because the medical records that we're looking at, the narratives, I mean, some of them do give the information that we're looking for and others don't. It's not consistent, and it really does depend on who's writing the medical record or the doctor that sees the soldier. That answers your question. Yes.
One quick question.
I just wonder whether you have any idea as to why there is such a remarkable decrease in the annual rate of non-medical injuries. And there are also related questions whether the U.S. Army use any measures in disparities such as
okay, can you ask your second question again? Sorry.
The second question is about the severity of those injuries.
The severity, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there any measurement, a quantitative measurement, such as the trauma score or injury severity score being used in the medical?
Okay, so I guess the first half of your question was why if the decrease in the rate, in the annual rate, all right. We are finding a decrease in the annual rate, and I think it does have something to do with the fact that, let's see if I can go back. The longer that we are there, the longer that these soldiers have been deployed, the more we're finding about the area and the conditions. So the more we're able to train them and let them know, you know, watch out for this, you know, and also just put up preventive measures as well. So that way, the longer we're there, the more the more we know about the potential risk and the more we're able to educate soldiers to watch out for it. Now, for the severity of the injury, for the cases that I've used in this presentation, we did have an ICD-9 code, and we also had a NATO standard code, but that's more, I guess, medical, and I think with the severity, with what I've worked with, we look at the severity, I guess, based on whether they need to be air evacuated or whether the injuries that they sustain can be treated in theater. So I know it's not a very quantitative measurement of the severity of injury. It's more of a qualitative, but that is right now, that is the best that we have.
I have a request to you.
Questions? I just have an answer. Oh, okay. Longstuhl and the facilities related to it have just been certified as a level 1 trauma center. So the data will be improving over time, and they will be collecting that, I'm sure, the severity of injury.
Evacuated. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, all right. Thank you.